However, now we come to the fourth type of damage that's discussed there in the Gemara, which is fire, destructive fire. Ze b'chinas pegam niyuv. This is what Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there in that chapter in the Gemaran, what's caused when a Jew commits adultery or those types of sins, all of those types of sins. Bekama b'chinas, all types of pegam niyuv, hanim shecha yidei zuamas hageir manal, which also comes as a result of the filth of the Gerim. Shenasim al yidei aliyah so'emuna min filoso, kama shekoz v'shom. Which Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, that when a Jew is zeichet to elevate the fallen emuna, that results in Gerim being able to come back and join Klal Yisrael. V'zeh b'chinas hever. This is the concept of damage by fire. B'chinas tavara samedura shel taivanal. We know that the lust for women is always referred to as this fiery desire. Nimtza shekol hadalid ovois nezikin nimshocha mipigom emanal shekulam klulim bepigam emunanal. So Rav Nosson Zal says, I just showed you how the four types of damage that are discussed in the Mishnah in Baba Kama, shor, bor, maver, and hever, the ox, the ditch, the teeth, and the fire, correspond exactly to the four types of pegamim, which Rabbeinu Zal discusses in that chapter in Likutei Moran, where he discussed pegam emuna, pegam of taivas mamon, the pegamim which gerim cause the Klal Yisrael when they come, and the pegam of taivas niyuv, which are all basically under the large umbrella called pegam emuna. All of them are really under that main category. The Alkein Omar Hatana, this is why the rabbi says in that Mishnah in Baba Kama, Loi hareze kareze, Loi kareze kareze. A is not similar to B, and B is not similar to A. That each one of these is unique in its own way. Ki yesh b'inyan hamazik almanal shinuyim rabim lein misbor. Because Rav Moshe Zal says, when it comes to these mazikim, they are very, very different from each other. There are many differences between them. Bohem ubetol v'seim kiyotze bohem. There are many differences between them and the subsets which come from them. There's hundreds of differences between them. However, the Gemara says over there, Hatzad hashova shebohem. What can we say is similar between all of these? What do they all share? Shedarkon lahazik. That they are all in the habit of causing damage and harm. Kikulam mazikim lo'olam o'oy. Because all of these items cause tremendous harm to the world. Whether it's taivas mamon, taivas niyuv, whether it's gerim injecting that gaivo, or whether it's pegam emuna. Kishehizik, and when they cause damage, chav hamazik l'shalim b'mei tavoretz. The person who's responsible for that ox, or the person who's responsible for digging that ditch, is responsible to pay from the choicest of his field. The metav horetz, from the best of his fields. Ki ikar hatikin alidei b'chinas metav horetz. Because we said earlier, the main tikkun for all of these, all four of these, comes through the choicest of the land. B'chinas metav sodeyu, metav karma yishalein. As the Gemara over there quotes the pasuk, which says, you must pay from your best field or your best vineyard. Shehein b'chinas idyis hanal. That best field is called idyis, as we discussed in the previous year. Shetzrichim lachzor ulahamshich mayim amuka etzanal. We said that a person who fell into any of these kinds of problems, how does he correct it? He's got to go to the source, which is tikkun ho'emuna, where we said tikkun ho'emuna involves being able to draw ruchnias elokus into tzimtzumim, which originates from Eden. Remember, we said that this originates from the Nohar coming shenimshach me'ed shetzrichen lachzor lahamshich mayim amukim etza. The person has to be able to start again that flow of those deep waters of advice shenimshach me'eden ha'elyoin, which originate from a purely spiritual place called Eden, v'chinas v'nohar yotze me'eden, referring to this river that flows from Eden. Again, this is an example of a piece of Likutei Halachos where you need to a degree, if you know the chapter on Likutei Moran clearly, all of it, the proofs, the connections are much clearer to you. However, we've learned enough Likutei Halachos, I hope, to trust Rav Nosson Zal, that in other words, some of the connections he's explained. The ones that he didn't explain, and he said, as is explained in Likutei Moran, You know, it is explained there. And for now, to understand the basic things that he emphasized. He discussed here, we said earlier, that the cause of all of these mazikin, all of these causes of damage coming into the world, they're caused based on certain sins that Jews do, or pigamim. And we mentioned that in this particular chapter in the Likud Imran, he discussed four different avenues. Pigam emuna, pigam in tavis mamon, pigam in niyuf, and he discussed the problems that Geirim caused to Klal Yisrael also. Those were the four categories. And now Rav Nosson Zal took a mission in Baba Kama, which seems to have nothing whatsoever to do with Likud Imran. It's discussing just basically the laws of damages and the causes of damages. And Rav Nosson Zal showed how the four basic causes that are discussed there connect perfectly to the four types of sin or the four types of problems that Rav Nosson Zal discusses in this chapter of Likud Imran. The topic of one of the worst types of crimes that a Jew could ever commit, which is the crime of a Mosser, a Jew who goes ahead and snitches to non-Jewish authorities or secular authorities against another Jew. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to tie it into the discussion that we're having now. V'zeh b'chinas oitzem ho'isur. We're up to paragraph 12. V'zeh b'chinas oitzem ho'isur shel ha'mosur shehichmiru boi razal ma'oi. With this we can understand the severity of the crime of one who is a mosur, where the rabbis are extremely strict about this type of crime. Shedinoi kemoi mumar v'koifer. He has the same law as a Jew who converts out of the faith, or a Jew who denies the existence of Hashem completely. We've already touched on this topic in the previous halacha, halacha dalid, based on the chapter on the Likud Imran we were dealing with there. However, Hashem has given me the opportunity to have new insights into this topic based on the discussion we're in the middle of now. And you need to realize that this Sefer Likutei Halachos was written live, meaning Rav Nosson Zal wrote this Sefer as he was living. Very often, like we'll be discussing a topic in Chosh and Mishpat, and somebody suddenly he says, "V'zeh b'chinas Pesach." Why? Because when he was learning these laws, or when he was writing these Divrei Torah, the next holiday coming up was Pesach, and he was thinking of the holiday of Pesach in terms of the topic he was learning, and he was able to be mechadesh chidushei Torah regarding Pesach. There was a period in Rav Nosson Zal's life where he was being chased and attacked by Jews, we've mentioned this before, religious Jews who lived at that time, who felt that he was a menace to society. Him and his students, you know, were a menace, and it was a mitzvah to go to the Russian authorities at that time, or the Polish-Russian authorities, and to try to get them put into jail, put into prison. And at one point, they succeeded. At one point, Rav Nosson Zal was put into prison with murderers and other things for a certain period of time. And we're going to see there's a part of Likutei Halachos that he wrote in prison. When he was in prison, he had his Sfarim brought to him and his pen, and he was able to sit and write and be Mechadesh Torah over there. That's the person, the level tzaddik that we're dealing with here. So here when he's talking about this issue, he's talking about it based on this is what he was experiencing at the time, that there were Jews going to the non-Jewish authorities, and Rav Nosson Zal wanted to include that within the framework of what he was teaching at that time, and show how it's related to it. V'zeh b'chinas ma'ashom razal ala mosur shemoiriden oisoy v'loy malim. The Gemara says that a Jew like this who snitches, you know, to the non-Jewish authorities, the law is moiridin, you're allowed to lower him into a ditch and then take up the ladder, not give him the chance to get out. Ki kol ma shenemar b'hatorah hanal no'utz v'koshur zeh bozeh b'kamok shorim. Because all the ideas that Rabbeinu Zal discusses in the chapter on Likut Imran that we're learning about now are all very much interconnected with each other. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, that if a Jew finds that his emunah, his faith in Hashem or his faith in tzaddikim has fallen, one of the things that he could do to help bring it back up is screaming out from the depths of his heart. Rabbeinu Zal shows there that this type of scream from the depths of one's heart helps elevate the emunah that has fallen. Ad shechoitrim hamayim amukim until the person has the ability to dig up the deep waters, Shehem ho'etzos, which represent advice, Shemehem gedelo ho'emuna, which has the ability to nourish the emuna and strengthen it. Rabbeinu Zal shows in that chapter in Likut Imran that emuna represents the sphere of Malchus, and Malchus draws its strength from the spheres above it, Netzach and Hoy, which represent the kidneys, which is the place where advice comes from, and that's what nurtures and supports the emuna when it's in a fallen state. And Rabbeinu Zal explains there that in order to accomplish this, you need a particular type of tzaddik who is called an ish tvunais, with a very high level of understanding. Shehu mi shemetzach tzeach nishmosoi ba'achilosoi. This is a person who, when he eats, he's not eating for physical nourishment, but rather his purpose for eating is to cause his neshama to glow as a result of the food that he eats. There's a pasuk that says, tzadik oichel lesoiva nafshoi. A tzaddik eats not to satisfy his body, but rather to satisfy his soul. And there's a pasuk, v'hisbia betzach tzachos nafshecho. You will be satisfied, you will be filled with the sparks that emanate from your soul. Implying that there are tzaddikim who, when they eat, it's not a physical experience, but rather it's something that causes a tremendous reaction with their neshama, the neshama to glow in a very big way. And this tzaddik is one who draws his parnasa from Hashem through the process of being able to take ruchnius, spirituality, and put it into tzintzumim, package it and confine it. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran the connection between that and the ability to draw parnasa into the world. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that when you have the ability to pick up this fallen emuna, that results in converts coming to join Klal Yisrael. However, these converts, besides causing a major kiddush Hashem, they also cause certain harm to Klal Yisrael. Ki machnisin gaiva b'Yisrael. They inject arrogance into Klal Yisrael, shemizeh loikhem cherev hagayvo hamanhigim shel sheker, which causes leaders that aren't really qualified to lead Bnei Yisrael to take over positions of power using their gaiva, their arrogance. With their arrogance, they're willing to take a position that they don't really deserve to have. Vaydezeh heimachnisin taivas niyuf boilam, and as a result, they introduce. The desire, the illegal desire for women into the world, and strengthen that. V'hatikun, and how does one correct all of this problem, the problem that's caused by Geirim injecting Gaiva into Klal Yisrael, which leads to these false leaders who inject Taivas Niyuv? The tikkun for it is Al Yidei Hamogine Eretz, through a certain type of tzaddikim that are called protectors of the world, Shemalin mehechtim soroi lebchinas pituchei choisim kodesh Lashem, who are able to turn around this pigama bris, these sins related to women, and change it to a level of purity, a choisim, the seal of Hashem, the concept of bris mila, bchinas tefillin, or to elevate the things to a purity of tefillin, which is also called an ois, a sign, just like the bris mila is called a sign. Ad tikkun hamishpat. Until Rabbeinu Zal concludes over there that these tzaddikim who are in a position to correct all of these problems, the problems that Geirim bring to Klal Yisrael, the problems of the fallen emuna, these tzaddikim are able to correct the pigam in mishpat in the world, all the injustices that are taking place in the world. Because Rabbeinu Zal says that so long as there are these false leaders, so long as there's taivas niyuv, so long as the emuna is fallen, there is this problem of mishpat me'ukal, where the mishpat, the justice in the world, is crooked. And it's only these tzaddikim, who are called these ish tvunais, who have these properties of their souls lighting up when they eat food, there's such a level of kedusha to it, and they're able to turn around pigam abris into tikkun abris into tefillin, those tzaddikim have the ability to straighten out this whole problem. Ayin Shom Kol Zeh, Rav Nosson Zal says, look this up over there in the chapter on Likutei Moharan, Ki Yevsher Lachzor Levar HaKol Poi, because it's impossible to review and explain all of this here, Ki Him Dvorim Aruchim Va'amukim Oy, because this is something that's explained very elaborately over there on Likutei Moharan, and it's very deep. So Rav Nosson Zal says, it would be out of place for me to give you the whole explanation. If you want, look it up over there in Likutei Moharan where it's presented. Chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moharan. Now Rav Nosson Zal starts discussing this. Ukvar mevoyer bedvoreinu b'mokam acher. We've already explained elsewhere. Shebechol inyan hamevoyer shom. Shemizgaberes hasidrachro lekalkel v'livgoyim. That in all the different various ways that the Yetzirah makes all the problems that are discussed over there, pegam in niyuf, pegam in emuna, pegam in mishpat, b'chol pegam v'kilkul, choyzeres v'niskalkeles v'emuna meireishes hatikin. Each time, the niyuf, the pegam in mishpat, all of these things go back and affect the foundation, which is called emuna. It always reflects itself in the emuna getting messed up. For example, lahavdil, just like when a person builds a building, there's a plumbing problem, there's a this part. Very often, if it's anything serious, it's going to affect the foundations of the whole building. That's where it's going to really cause harm. If the thing just causes a leak here and there, big deal, it can be fixed, it's no big deal. But if it's a serious type of defect, unfortunately what's going to happen is it's going to go all the way down to the foundations of the building, and that's where the real crisis is. Kigoin, for example, where Rabbeinu Zal writes over there that as a result of the filth that a ger possesses from his previous life, that injects gaiva into Klal Yisrael, Rabbeinu Zal says you must realize that indirectly and automatically is going to affect the emuna of Klal Yisrael. Ki gaiva, bechinas avodah zarah ukfirus, because we know that the Gemara labels arrogance as a form of idol worship, a form of denial of Hashem. Ki kol hamizgoe kilo oved avodah zarah. The Gemara says if a person has arrogance, it's as if he's worshiping the idol. Who's the idol? Me. That's who's the idol. If I'm arrogant, chas v'shalom, then I become the idol. Ukimvur b'makom acher, as is explained in another place. So you see here an example that one of the issues that Rabbeinu Zal presents over there about Gerim bringing Gaiven to Klal Yisrael, obviously that's going to mess up the emunah of Klal Yisrael. Next, Kaidei Gaiva Nivgam HaParnosa Shel Yisrael, because the Gaiva ends up making the Parnosa of the Jews defective. Shaidezeh Mitzachzach Nafshoi, which we said earlier, that when the Parnosa is coming in a pure way, then the souls of the Jews are glowing. Which gives us the ability to dig up the deep waters, the advice, which is what nourishes our faith. Because the ability to draw, the ability to eat on such a level of Kiddusha that it'll cause his neshama to glow, the food that he eats and the parnasa that he earns will cause his neshama to glow, this ability usually only applies to great tzaddikim who have the ability to draw ruchnius into tzimtzumim. Shaydeze daika mamshich parnasa kiddusha kazoyis, which gives him the ability to bring such high-level parnasa into the world, shemetzachzeach nafshi al yodo, that his nefesh, his soul, glows from it. Kimavoyer Shomas is explained over there in the Likutei Moharan, Ayin Shom. V'chol echot mi Yisrael, and each and every member of Klal Yisrael, kifi kiruvo yel atzadik, according to the degree of closeness that he has to this true tzadik, kein mamshich mimenu parnosa kadosh gal. Based on that Jew is able to draw holy parnosa into the world. And again, based on that, based on the person's closeness to the tzaddik, he'll have the ability to draw holy parnasim to the world, and that when he eats, his neshama will glow, his soul will glow. To the point where that Jew will have the ability on his level to dig up those deep waters, that new advice, which will refresh and sustain his emuna. Ki Yisrael bechlal nikroim kulam tzadikim. Because Klal Yisrael as a nation is called a nation of tzadikim. Kemo Yishikosev, as the Pasuk says, v'yamech kulam tzadikim. Your people are a people of tzadikim. Machmash b'shaloshon he'mekusharim u'chulam tzadikim eshu shorish nishamos Yisrael. Because the Jews at their origin, at their point of origin, are all plugged in to the root of the entire Klal Yisrael, which is the tzaddik. The tzaddik is called the shoresh neshamos Yisrael. V'al kein momoin shel Yisrael hakosher hu yokor moin. And this is why money that belongs to a kosher Jew, a religious Jew, is something that's very precious. Because this Jew is able to use his money to buy food and other things, which causes the neshama to glow, which elevates the emuna, shehu ikar hakol, which is the most important thing of all. And if the world were being run properly, the way it's going to be run in the future, if the world were being run really beseder, then you would find that all parnasa and wealth would be coming to the tzaddik. The one who has the ability to draw spirituality into tzimtzumim, he would be the master of all wealth in the world and all parnasa. And each person who is closer to the tzaddik would receive more and better parnasa and wealth. As the Gemara says, during the time that the Jews had the Beis Hamikdash, the main wealth in the world and the main flow of parnasa in the world was to the Jews, the and the Goyim, all the other 70 nations, got the leftovers. After the Yidden got everything they needed, whatever was left was distributed among the Goyim. Avol may ribu yavonoseinu, however, due to our many sins, nishapech hakol, everything got turned upside down. Ki nechrav habeis hamikdash, Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The whole shefa v'hashirus and all wealth, afal pi shegamato nimsheches rak al yedei tzadikim anal, even though today also, who are the ones who are bringing wealth and parnos into the world? It's the tzadikim that are doing it, no question. Afal pi kein, despite that, nishapach agalgel, the wheel has taken a turn. V'nimsheches horoiv loho akum v'ho ishoim. And the majority of the money and wealth and parnasa in this world goes to the 70 nations. And this is why we find that nowadays, even among Klal Yisrael, the majority of the wealth is by the regular people, the people that are not so religious and not so learned, the hatzadikei emes rubam aniyim, whereas the true tzadikim, the vast majority of them are poor people. Kimo Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says, Kol ha'olam nizaynin b'shvil Chanina b'ni. The entire world is being given parnosa in the zchus of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. V'Chanina b'ni dayloi b'kav charuvin. And my son Chanina, Hashem says, he was able to live on a small measure of carob. That's what he ate all week. And yet the whole world was getting parnosa through him, through his zchus. Ki tzadikayo mahanyez chusayu a'alma. A'alma, because the Zohar HaKadosh says, tzadikim use their merit for the benefit of the world. Adidhu loy, for themselves, they don't use it. They're willing to forego their portion and have it distributed among the people. V'alzeh tzoak hamekoinen, and this is what Yirmiyahu Hanavi, the lamenter, cries about when he says, nachloseinu le'nehet cholizorim, our property was turned over to strangers. In other words, what was supposed to be ours was given away to strangers. Al kein tzorich kol echad v'echad miYisrael kishemagi aloi eizah shefer shel parnosa v'ashirus. Therefore, each and every Jew has a responsibility that whenever Hashem blesses him with any kind of shefa or wealth, sheyishtabel b'chol koychoi lahachzir ulahaloi saparnoso l'morakama, that he should try to do everything he possibly can to return it to its original owner and to its original source, shehu hatzadikei emes v'chol anilv maleim, which is the true tzadikim and those who are attached to them. V'chein tzorech kolechot lesnai v'parnasosei v'ashirusei b'gdusha. And so too, that's one level of tikkun. And a second level of tikkun is that each and every Jew has to see to it to conduct himself with his parnasa and wealth b'gdusha, in a holy way. Livli lehizgoyz boy, not to show off with his wealth, not to use it to bring himself respect and honor in the community. Shilayia bechlal shenemra aleim pentoichal v'savoto v'kesev v'zohav yerbalach v'rom levadecha v'shilchachto es Hashem alikecha. The pasuk says in Chumash that Hashem says, I worry that there's going to come a time when the Jews are going to eat and become full, and they're going to have a lot of gold and silver, and they're going to become arrogant, and they're going to forget Hashem. And when a person gets to that place, then they're no longer in a position to draw emuna through their parnasa or wealth. Ulehepech, whereas if the opposite is true, if a Jew lives exactly within his means, and if a Jew, even if he gets $100,000 or $1 million, he's not looking to change his standard of living, as long as he's comfortable and he has basically what he needs, he has no excuse to double and triple and, you know, his standard of living. Nimtza, shaydei pegam ha-gaiva, nifgam ha-parnosa dikdusha, u-memeila nifgem es-su-emuna shimshech zaydei zeh. Therefore, we see that as a result of pegam and gaiva, the parnosa gets messed up, which means the emuna gets messed up. V'al kein be-emes kol ha-mizgoye kilu ha-vidavad zorkanam. And this is why we said earlier that anybody who has gaiva, arrogance, it's considered as if he worshipped idols. Because again, it takes him away from Hashem. V'chein alidei niyuf nivgam hu emuna. And so too, when a person falls into niyuf, pigam abris, that also messes up his emuna. K'mo shekosov b'dvorav zal v'kam upon him, as is found in many places in the Likutei Moran. It says that the Zohar HaKadosh says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was once walking with his students, and they saw a group of women walking in front of them. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to his students, let's run quickly to get in front of them, because there's a pasuk that says you're not supposed to look at idols. Because he used the term idols as a nickname, in a sense, for this concept of looking at women. That was because pigam abris is synonymous with idol worship. Again, it's worshipping something other than Hashem. People who get heavily involved in this, it's like something they worship. He worships her beautiful looks, you know, that kind of, they turn it into that kind of thing, Rahman of Islam. So again, Pigam and Taivas Niyuf is also called Pigam Emuna. V'chein Pigam Achilo, Ku Pigam Emuna. And so too, when a person eats improperly, without the proper manners, without the proper kiddusha, also that's called Pigam Emuna. Because we learned earlier that the emuna is given an elevation through those tzaddikim who eat with holiness. They elevate the emuna. Whereas when a person eats wrongly, and in his eating is mixed in the power of the shedim, other forces, azai bevatay enu mitzachzeach nafshe b'chilosoi, then the food that he eats does not cause his neshama to glow and shine. V'al kein bevadai nifgam ha-emuna, which also is registered as pigam emuna. V'chein alidei pigam ha-mishpot nifgam pigam emuna. And so too, when there's injustice in the world, when judges are judging improperly, that also is called pigam emuna. K'mo sham razal, as we just learned recently in Masechta Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, Shehadayim hama'aves es hadin, a judge who judges improperly, nikra toyeva, is called disgusting. The Torah calls him disgusting kemoy avodah zara mamish, which is the same word that the Torah uses about idol worship. So we see that all the different types of pegamim that Rabbi Nizal mentions in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, pegam achila, pegam gaiva, pegam mishpat, all of them indirectly or directly affect the emunah. Ukemoy sham razal, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the beginning, shenismach uloisita lecho ashera, eitzel shoiftim v'shoitrin, the Gemara says that right near where the Pasuk tells you to appoint judges, right next to it, it says, do not plant a tree of idol worship. And the Gemara learns out, loy malacha, this comes to teach you, shekol hamamid dayon, she'enoi hokun, that any rabbi who appoints a judge who's not qualified to be a judge, ki'ilu noitei ashera. It's like he planted a tree of avodah zara. So you see clearly that the Gemara is calling pigama mishpot, pigama emuna. Ve'ikra kilkul hu b'chinas pigama mishpot. And of all the different kilkulim that are mentioned there, the most important one is the pigam injustice, all the injustice in the world. Kemuvon bedvoreinu b'mokam acher. As Rav Nosson Zal explains in another place in the Likutei Halachos, that in this chapter in the Likutei Moran, where he mentions about five different pegamim, the one that's the most serious blow to Klal Yisrael is when their concept of justice gets totally messed up. Ki benison shehu yitzias Mitzrayim hayoroi lehistakein. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in the Likutei Moran that during the month of Nisan, which is when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, which means they got out of Pegam Aniyuv, and they got taken Hemuna, Vayaminu Bashem of Moshavdoi, and everything, just about everything was corrected, it would have been logical that everything should have been fixed. Acharidei Pegam HaMishpot Choyzer V'Niskalkel. However, because there was Pegam HaMishpot, everything got messed up again, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there. V'chol Choarichus HaGolus Shelachshav, and all the long exile that we're going through now, that's continuing for thousands of years, Mishon. It's all based on Pegam HaMishpat. It's based on the fact that Klal Yisrael has allowed injustice to seep into us, between us and our fellow men, and even among our own court system, our own rabbis and leadership, has become Kilkul HaMishpat. K'moshe Kosov, as it says in Eicha, HaHoifchem Lelano Mishpat. They've exchanged their justice like for jokes. They've turned their court system into something that has lost its respect completely. And as it says in Yeshaya Novi, in the Haftorah that we read right before Tisha B'Av, it says over there, that the courts aren't willing even to provide justice for orphans, where the Torah says Hashem is most particular by them. And when we say the Eicha on Tisha B'Av, Rav Nosson Zal says, if you'll study it carefully, you'll see that this is the most important underlying theme there, emphasizing the Pegam in Mishpat, Kama Shekosov B'Medrash, as it says in the Medrash, Shemoshe Omar Eicha Eso Levadi. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Chumash Dvorim, Hashem, how in the world can you expect me to carry the burden of this nation alone? So Moshe Rabbeinu used the word Eicha in Parshas Veschanan. V'Yishaya Omar Eicha Hoysa V'Zoyna. Whereas Yishaya Hanavi said, how did this nation stray so far from Hashem? They committed adultery. They traded Hashem in for other husbands. V'Yirmiyah Omar Eicha Yoshva V'Dod. And Yirmiyah Hanavi said, how in the world did the city of Yerushalayim become so alone, cut off completely from the rest of the world? Ki hakol echot, v'hakol tov izeh bazeh. The Medrash explains that all three of these echos are actually one, and they're all dependent on each other. Ki Moshe omar echo eso levadi le'inyan tikkun ha'mishpat. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, how in the world can you expect me to carry the burden of this nation single-handedly? He was talking about justice. Loimar shegam olav koshel lahashlem b'shleimos tikkun ha'mishpat. Moshe Rabbeinu was implying, even for me, even somebody on my level, it's extremely difficult for me to carry out justice in all the different situations in Klal Yisrael. K'mo shekosov shom, echo eso levadi, torchachem umasachem
the rivchim. How can I carry alone all your burdens and troubles and your litigations and your machlokes? That's the last word, the rivchim, referring to all the mishpatim. This Jew wants to take him to court, this one has a claim against this, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hashem, how in the world can I handle all of this? How can I be expected to see to it that justice should reign among Klal Yisrael? So he was referring to the fact that this was a problem. V'Yeshayo rozois bepachzuso, and Yeshaya Anovi saw this in his own situations, Omar, and he said, Echo hoiso lezoina, how in the world have the Jews strayed so far from Hashem? Al shekvar pogmu harbe b'mishpot. He was referring to the fact that the Jews by that time had moved far away from the straight line, far away from justice. K'may shekosav sham, as it says right over there next to what Yeshaya Novi said, Kirya ne'emona, that the city of trust, Yerushalayim, where you used to be able to trust people, at least in that holy city, Milesi Mishpat, is suddenly filled with court cases, with justice. This one doesn't trust this one, and it... So we see that Yirmiyahu Novi Zecha was also based on this principle of Pigam and Mishpat. Vizehu, and this is why it says over there, Kirya ne'emona, Milesi Mishpat. The trustworthy city suddenly got turned into one big mishpat, one big courthouse. Ki tikin hu emuna al yidei tikin ha-mishpat. Note, look what it says there. Kirya ne'emona, ne'emona is miloshen emuna, is affected by milesi mishpat, is affected by the justice. The tikin ha-mishpat or kilkul ha-mishpat is what's going to determine whether the emuna is going up or down. You see, it calls the city of Yerushalayim the city of emuna. And this city is suddenly messed up because of all the mishpatim, all the kilkul ha-mishpat. V'zehu eicho hoiso lezoino. And this is why he uses that term, how did the Jews become like a prostitute? K'ayidei pigam ha-mishpat nimshach znus v'niyu. Because when the Jews get messed up in mishpat, automatically this leads to znus and niyu. Also, those things go together. When there's a lack of justice, there's a lack of sticking to principles. The Yirmiyah ro oisa b'chubonov, and Yirmiyah Novi, who saw the city of Yerushalayim after it had been destroyed completely, the Omar, and he said, Eicha yoshva vodod. How did the city of Yerushalayim collapse to the point where it's alone? It has no inhabitants. Everybody's dead. Everybody's dead and buried. Ki ikar hachubon hoyayde zeayde pegam hamishpat. Because the main thing that caused the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the destruction of the Jewish people was pegam hamishpat, all the lack of justice between them. Shaydezeh noiflim ahavois hanefulin venimshach taivas niyuv. Because when Jews fall into injustice, suddenly their concept of love is misplaced, and they start loving what they're not supposed to love and who they're not supposed to love, and automatically this leads to adultery and those kind of crimes. K'may shekosav sham, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moran, which causes this whole cycle to get start messed up again, affecting the emunah and everything else. The alkein misayim shon, and this is why Rabbeinu Zal concludes over there, sheikar hageula tluya b'tikun ha-mishpat, that the main concept of Moshiach's coming and the Jews being taken out of exile is dependent on fixing the kilkul ha-mishpat, fixing up the perverted justice. K'may shekosav, as the pasuk says, Tzion b'mishpot tipode. Tzion, the city of Yerushalayim, will be redeemed with mishpot, with justice. That's what will be poided. That's what will take us out of this, you know, state of being in captive. V'zehu tzion b'mishpot tipode v'shoveho b'tzdokah. And Rav Moshe Zal says, this is why, look what the pasuk says. The city of Yerushalayim will be redeemed with justice, and the Jews will return to it through charity, through tzedakah. Ki ikar ha-tikin al yidei balei tzedakah amitiyim shezeichem liten tzedakah l'mokoy matzorich. Because the main tikin for all of this depends on the balei tzedakah, those people who Hashem gives them money, and they're zeichet to put the money into the right places. They're zeichet to give the money where it's really needed. Let tzadikei emes, to the true tzadikim, v'hanilvam aleihem, and to those that are attached to them, Ha'oiskim lahamshich ruchnis l'kus l'toch tzimtzumim, who are involved in this mission of taking spirituality and putting it into tzimtzumim, into kelim. Shemehem kol shoyresh shefa parnosav ashirus. Those of the tzaddikim that are actually the source of all parnos and wealth coming into the world. Rak shemachmas v'chinas galgal hachoizer. It's just that because of the fact that this wheel spins, this wheel of parnos and wealth is constantly spinning, b'chinas hatikla, which is a term used in Kabbalah, in Sifrei Kabbalah, they call it tikla, this place where the scales are constantly fluctuating, going up and down, and things don't always remain in place, shemizgalgeles be'es achurban, this wheel which spins whenever there's a destruction, nisapei hashefa, sometimes things get turned topsy-turvy, upside down, at shehigia l'mishigia, to the point where money and wealth has fallen into the hands of people who have nothing to do with religion, people who don't have good midos and everything, and whereas the people who are really religious and good are suddenly paupers. V'tzorech kol echot lahachzir hashefa l'mora kama kanal. Therefore, each Jew has a responsibility to return the wealth to its original place, to its proper place, which is to the tzaddikim. Just as during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they had the mitzvah of supporting the Kohanim, supporting the Levim, you know, those people who are the elite core of Jews who are going to be closest to Hashem, who were spending most of their time with the Beis Hamikdash, with Yiddishkeit. V'alkein pegam hamishpot otzum mo'oid. Rav Nosson says this is why this item called pegam hamishpot is awesome. It's a tremendous vaydeze kol hachurban, and this is the cause of the whole destruction of Kal Yisrael. Ki kishepoigim b'mishpot umata hadin umachzik yidei ha'isa over, because when a judge messes up the judgment and he causes the judgment to be one-sided in favor of the criminal, in favor of the one that's wrong, shemechachesh b'miso, a person who's lying to his friend, v'oishik mamonei, in stealing his money, v'oishik mamonei upanasosesh chaveroi, shaloi kedin, a person who's trying to steal another Jew's money, you know, in an improper way, shehu poigim b'mamonei upanasos Yisrael, this person who's causing a defect in Jewish money, shebisharoshei hu kodesh moi, which in its source is super holy, v'chol hu emunanim shechaydeze, and the whole concept of faith comes from there, v'hadayon hama'avei sasadim. Now, when a Jewish judge goes ahead and messes this up, poigim bozeh harbe, he causes tremendous damage. Because most certainly, when a Jew takes money away from another Jew illegally, where it's not really proper, that kind of money is not going to draw emunah into the world. That money is going to cause the person's faith, the person that has it, or any people affected by that money in any way, it's going to weaken their faith. V'alkein be'emes omru chazal hamechachesh b'misoi nechshav koivid avodizoro. And this is why the Gemara makes a statement that a Jew who lies to his friend in money matters, he takes money out of another Jew illegally, it's as if he worshipped idols. Because again, we're saying when money is dealt with improperly, that causes a weakening of the emunah. Just like we learned earlier, that when a mitzvah is done with money, when money is used properly, that's the main tikkun ha'emunah. V'alkein pegam hamishpot otzum oid. Therefore, whenever there's any injustice perpetrated by Jews, by a Jewish judge, it's a super pegam, ka'ideze ikar pegam ha'emunah. Because that's the main thing that causes pegam ha'emunah. Just to bring a side proof, a very simple, clear side proof that connects all three of these items. We spoke about emunah, we spoke about justice, true justice, and we spoke about pegam habris, right? We spoke about those three major areas. We say in davening every morning, emes ve'emunah chok v'lo yavor, that there are two things that go together, truth and faith, emes and emunah. Emes is the definition of justice at its best, correct? When justice is being done perfectly well, it's called emes. The wording in the Gemara was, kol dayon shedom din emes la'amitoi He's Hashem's best friend. Any judge who brings forth the true truth, that's called right, that's tikkun hamishpat. So right away I showed you that emes and emuna go together. When there's emes, there's emuna. When there's no emes, it's pigam emuna. Now, emes is called Yaakov Avinu, right? Titein emes liyakov. It's a pasuk. Tikkun HaBris is Yosef HaTzadik. Correct? He's the symbol of Tikkun HaBris. Those two, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Yaakov veYosef kechodach shivi. Yaakov and Yosef are one. If you recall, in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, it says, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei aviv. It says, Eile toldos Yaakov Yosef. This is the life of Yaakov Yosef. Whose life is it? The Gemara says these two are both identical. Whatever Yaakov Avinu went through, Yosef HaTzadik went through. So that these two, in a sense, are one and the same. It's the wording in the Sifrei Kabbalah is Guf Ubris Chadhu. Guf is called Mishpat, Emes, Tiferes, the sphere of Tiferes, which is the one which is called Mishpat, which is the one which is synonymous with Yaakov Avinu. That and Tikkun HaBris are one and the same. You need to know this is a rule. So therefore, Emuna and Emes and Tikkun HaBris are all one kav. When one of them is great, it feeds the other two. When any one of these three gets messed up, usually it's reflected automatically in all three. Ois Zayin, Rav Nosson says now, V'zehu bi'atzmoi oitzem pigam hamosur. Now you could understand the seriousness of what kind of a catastrophe is caused when a Jew is a moser, when a Jew goes and snitches, gets another Jew in trouble by goyish courts. Shemoiser momoin shel Yisrael biadakum, whereby he turns over Jewish money into the hands of the goyim. As he snitches to the goyim, this Jew is doing something illegal against the government. At where the goyim come in and penalize that Jew, they take away his money, they fine him because another Jew snitched on him. Umoiser es ish Yisrael hakosher b'mishpateim, and he takes a religious Jew and forces him to get put into non-Jewish courts that they should impose their justice on a religious, on a Jew who accepts upon himself the justice of the Torah. Ki hu poigein b'chol hanal b'yoser. Because a person that does this is causing the most severe attack against everything we spoke about here. Machmas Shemoiser Momon Yisroel Shenekroim Kulam Tzadikim Shaidei Momoinam Nimshach Lemuna. This person is taking Jewish money, where we said before the Jews on a whole are called a nation of Tzadikim, V'Yameh Kulam Tzadikim, whereby their money, Jewish money, is supposed to be something that brings faith into the world, strengthens emun in the world. And this Jew is going ahead and turning it over into the hands of the goyim. Right, justice will be imposed on him through non-Jews. And therefore such a person certainly deserves the penalty that our rabbis have specified for him. You're allowed to lead him into a ditch. You're allowed to take him, say, come with me. I want to show you this thing down there. And take him down, and then voloi malin, and then make it impossible for him to get out, chas v'shalom. Because you're not allowed to put a bullet in him, you're not allowed to shoot him, but you're allowed to put him in a room, lock the door, and throw away the key. That you're allowed to do, that kind of thing. Ki ikar pigam hamishpot nimshach mima shemalin tipas esov yishmoel elamoyach. Let me explain now for a minute. Rabbeinu Zal, in that chapter in Likutei Moran, explained that again, there are geirim where it's a mitzvah to bring them close to the Kiddusha, because the level of evil in them is such that it can be fixed and can be corrected and can be brought into the Kiddusha. But very often, while a Jew is trying to work on those geirim, because these geirim initially were holding hands with other non-Jews, bad, bad non-Jews, when a Jew tries to pluck this geir out and bring him into the Kiddusha, very often some of those other non-Jews try to come with him. Those that are bad, those that represent the droplet of Esav and Yishmael. which if they come into the Kedusha, they'll mess up the whole thing. They can't be brought into the Kedusha. They represent the concept of a bad apple that'll spoil the whole bunch, that kind of thing. So therefore, and we know that if a person tries to elevate that droplet of Esav Yishmael and bring that into the Kedusha, it blows everything. It blows the Moichen, it messes everything up. The Alkane, therefore, Hamosur, this person, this Jew, who goes ahead, Shehapegam Shaloi Magia Lesham Beyoise, Lebchinas Pegam Hamishpot Moi, where his Pegam causes super Pegam Hamishpot, Alkane, who Neufel El Haklipo, Shubchinas Tipa Esav Yishmael. He falls into a category called Esav Yishmael, She'osur Lahaloiso, which we learned earlier, you're not allowed to elevate that. That represents a certain place where you're not allowed to bring it up. Raktzrichim lohirida, but rather there's a mitzvah to push it down. We've given an example of this, if you recall. We've explained, we've learned the concept of Shabbos. Shabbos is the epitome of holiness of the whole week. The Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, that there's a mitzvah of Tosfos Shabbos, to take part of Friday and part of Sunday and bring it into Shabbos. Make it Shabbos. To add a little from Friday into Shabbos and add a little of Sunday. Make Shabbos overlaid, correct? However, the Arizal says that there's a mitzvah for a Jew to take a hot shower, to bathe in hot water on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because the Arizal says that whenever a Jew tries to do this, whenever he tries to take Yemei Chol, something that's unholy, the weekdays, and bring it into holiness, make it into Shabbos, part of that represents an unholiness that can't be brought into Shabbos. And if you try to do it, you'll make a mess of the whole thing. We learned, for example, if a Jew tries to start Shabbos Friday morning, if a woman goes ahead and lights candles 9 o'clock Friday morning, does it work? No, it's a bracha levatol. It's a sin. She's committing a major sin because she's trying to take something that can't be turned into Shabbos and turn it into Shabbos. That's a crime. And the Arizal says that every single Friday, when a Jew tries to do this, to fulfill the mitzvah of taking part of Friday, bring it into Shabbos, what happens is there's this tipas Esav Yishmael. There's some of this tumah that's really bad that tries to get in also. And you need a knife to be able to slice between the bad that can come into Shabbos and the bad that has to be kept out. The Arizal says that when a Jew bathes in hot water on Erev Shabbos, that triggers a reaction whereby a shalhuva d'yesha, a pillar of fire, comes out from heaven and separates between the bed that can be brought into the Kedusha versus the bed that has to be pushed down, pushed away. This is just one example of how this takes place in Yiddishkeit. So Rav Nosazal explains, these people who cause this pegam mishpat, they put themselves in the category of Esav Yishmael, where the mitzvah is to push them out, to keep them out, to push them down and not to elevate them. As it says by Esav, in Tagbia Kanesher, the pasuk says, if you, Esav, will try to lift yourself up like an eagle to go to the heart, Mishom Oridcha, Hashem says, I'll push you down, I'll lower you. V'alkein bevadai mishpotoi shel hamosur cholutz moiridin v'leimalim. This is why the punishment that the rabbis give to a mosur is custom tailored. Look how they use that exact wording. You lower him and you don't elevate him. Kedei l'sakein hamishpot shepogam boi hamosur b'yoseh. In order to make a tikkun hamishpot for the mess that this man made, al yidei sheyoridu oiseh v'leyalu oi, by lowering him and not allowing him to get up again. So he shouldn't mess up the mishpat to the greatest degree. Because a Jew who commits this type of crime of a mosur, he has fallen into this category of Esav Yishmael, where if a Jew tries to elevate them, it messes up the whole mishpat completely. This is why you have to lower him and not allow him to get up in order to save the mishpat, in order to try to fix the mishpat. Okay. So that what Rav Nosazal has done here is
he has equated the terminology used in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch about a Masur, where the Gemara uses that terminology of Merid and Vleimarin, he's equated it to Rabbeinu Zal's explanation in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses Tikkun HaMishpat and explains that when you're doing Tikkun HaMishpat, Geirim try to come in, and whenever you're dealing with that kind of situation, you have to worry about this Kippah Seis of Yishmael, which the mitzvah is to push it down and not let it go up. Rav Nosson Zal suddenly drew the parallel between the two and showed that the example of what Rabbi Nachman, what Rabbeinu Zal is calling Tipa Seis of Yishmael on the Kutei Moran, the example of that in Halacha is a Jew who sets foot in those horrible shoes called a Mosser. A Jew, Chas V'Shalom, commits this ultra crime of turning over Jewish money or a Jew into the hands of the Goyim for justice. V'zeh pegam Doson Vaviram. This is the crime that Doson Vaviram did during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shepogmu b'mishpat neged Moshe. They sinned in mishpat against Moshe Rabbeinu. V'omru, when Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, what are you guys fighting for? How does a Jew pick up a hand to hit another Jew? V'omru, they said, mi samcha le'ish sar v'shofet aleinu. Who made you a judge over, who appointed you to be a judge over us? U'mosru oisoi, and they went and snitched on him. K'moshe kosuv, as the Pasuk says, halohargeni atoimer kashiharakto esamitzri. They said to him, are you going to murder us like you murdered that Egyptian yesterday? We saw what you did. K'moshe mazal, as the Gemara says, shehem hol shinu alo. They went to Paroi and they snitched on Moshe Rabbeinu that he murdered someone. V'yachaka cholku alo badas koirach. And then we find that when Koirach wanted to make machlokes against Moshe Rabbeinu, they joined in right away. And they wanted to mess up the justice and the balance of the whole Torah. They started questioning all the mitzvahs, tzitzis, one string of tchelas, the whole thing. What was their penalty? What does the Torah say happened to them? Were they punished by fire? Were they punished by... No, the Torah says the ground opened up, they were sent into the basement. They and all of their possessions went down. Bechinas moiridim v'leimalin, exactly as the Shulchan Aruch says, that the penalty for one who snitches to the goyim on another Jew is you lower him and you don't let him come back up. Shaydeze ikar tikkun hamishpat. This is how you correct the injustice in the world. Lohoyrid v'loy lahalos bechinas tipa seis of Yishmael sheim naflu sham kanal. To take those items that represent Tipas Esau of Yishmael, lower it, and don't allow it to come back up. The Iker HaTikun, who's going to be the one to fix this for real in the world? Yia Alidei Moshiach is going to be Moshiach. Shenem Arboi, about whom the Torah says, V'shofat Batzedek Dalim. He is the one who's going to judge the poor people with true righteousness and justice. Uchsiv, and there's a pasuk that says, Mishpotecho lamelech tein, v'tzikoscho, etc. Your justices, turn it over to the king, the true king of Kal Yisrael Mashiach, he'll be the one to mete out the true justice. Va'oz yekuyam tzion b'mishpati poder. And that's when this pasuk will be fulfilled, that the city of Yerushalayim will be redeemed by true justice. The canal, as we said before, b'mheira b'yomenu amen. We should be zecha to see this soon in our time. Amen.